today.
With a bang. With a jacked up, muscular Baba.
Welcome to One Mic Stand, Baba.
Thank you for having me.
ASL, please.
What the... Age, sex, location, is it? How are you, bro?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm sorry it took quite some time to set this up.
No problem. We have time.
So what have you been up to, Baba?
What have I been up to? Yeah, been working, same like you.
So what do you do? What do you do?
My next question is, what do you do?
So I'm a personal trainer. Yeah, so on top of that, I manage a bootcamp gym as well. So my days can be very long, like I told you guys earlier. Yeah. But I love my job, so I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm. How do you actually go through this bootcamp thingy?
I was doing personal training for a very long time. Then I just wanted something different. And I was lucky this thing came along, so I just applied for it and I got the job. Yeah.
How does this go about with the bootcamp thingy? Like you drill these guys and
we have classes, like 11 classes every day, so they just book for the class and they come for the class. Everything is all programmed really.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm there to just kick their ass.
So it's
exactly. That's why I love my job.
So basically it's all fully automated.
Fully automated.
Does that mean you'll be replaced soon?
No. I hope not. The more harder I kick the ass, I think the more they will keep me.
Really, yeah?
Yeah.
How bad has it been, man? How bad have you seen these guys? Like, they... I mean, I know people pay to get their ass kicked at times like this. And I don't know why. Probably... Okay, it works the same for me. I am okay with going to the gym. The hardest part of going to the gym for me is going to the gym. Once I'm at the gym, it's fine. But now... that I'm so fucking lazy for the past 2-3 years, and I've just started working out again for the past 2 months or so, and I got myself a trainer. Why? It's not because I don't know what to do. It's just because I need to motivate myself, because I know there's someone there that's waiting for me, and I just need that motivation thingy. Is it the same for this guy?
Exactly the same. So I have a client who's been with me since day one when I started. So like 15 years already, and she's already like mother of two and good physique, you know. So I asked her, I say, why are you still training?
You know what to do.
You know, no. You see, the problem with her is, she say, I tried going into the gym, I just stared at the equipments and I left. So when she left is when she say, if only I have my trainer with me, which is me, you see. So they just, and on top of that, they pay because they know they have to be in the gym to train. So that she confessed to me. She said, if I don't pay, I will never step into the gym. I will get fat and so on. So
the thinking
where I am, right? That's where I stand.
The thinking of you coming out, the money is what drives people to go to the gym.
Correct, yeah.
That's one. Two is to have someone there. I think, but that's personal, right? That's me. To have someone there to say, yeah, you should, you know, you can, and let's just talk while we are at it. And when you talk, you ask for advice, like basically things like what do you eat, and you know, what do you do when you go back, and things like that. I mean, we know the basic parts, but it's just that you want to get to the intermediate stage.
Intermediate or intimate stage? I heard you know what I'm
saying. Intimidating stage.
Okay.
Intimidating stage, basically.
And I think it's also for some people, it's also just to release stress. You know, they are like from morning to afternoon in the office, stressing about work and all. So they just want someone to talk about. I have clients who just, they don't really train. In that 1 hour, they train for 20 minutes and the rest of it is just talking. You know, and they actually tell me, they say, I come to you because I can just let go of all my stress. Somehow I got a good listening ear, so it's a good...
That's the other point I was going to get at. He surely has spoken to so many people about so many things. You could actually do a fucking podcast, you know, basically.
Do you
want to
join
that.
Us now, Baba?
Let's talk about that after.
Like me, if I need somebody to talk to, I'll go to my barber.
Okay. But that's not like a daily thingy, right? You will probably go once a month.
True.
Yeah. But you can talk to me, Ashraf.
I just call Aunt Aggie.
But you can always have a podcast and talk to me and let everyone know your problems, eh?
Okay, Baba, next question.
That's a quick one.
So what kind of stories have you heard since you say that, you know, people come to you and, you know, pour their heart out to you?
Can be very sensitive as well, like, you know, marriage, about their relationship, you know. So sometimes it can be very sensitive as well, you know. So I don't, so that's where I come in. I can't be like suddenly burst into laughter or whatever, even though it's funny, you see, because it's personal issues, right? So I really have to slowly think about it, absorb, and just, you know, try to come up with something to help them out, even though I'm not qualified to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But maybe you are personal, after all these years.
Personal experience as well, right? Comes in as well. So I just talk to them about things. I say, but I try not to go deep into it. You know, some, it can be very sensitive as well. You see? But as much as I can. But then when I really can't answer, then I just, all right, next set, let's go.
We're going to increase 10 kilos on your fucking chest. Incline now.
All right, I think you should do this. No, no, I think why not you just come to the bicep curls first.
And in these 15 years, I'm sure, apart from people pouring out their grievances to you, how many phone numbers have you gotten?
Oh, I have all my clients' numbers, for sure.
Of course, of course, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean. La,
I try to
Why so you just ask him how much of these problems do you bring home? Or how much of this problem is how much of your clients do you bring home?
So how much of a client do you bring home?
I have to be professional about this one.
That's the spirit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, I mean, basically, right, do you actually bring these problems home? No? I mean, you think about it, because I'm the kind of person that will think about this kind of shit and it affects my head.
Yeah.
Because I am kind of like mentally unsound, but this podcast helps me quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I talk to people like you, for example, and it gives us a sense of sharing. Yeah. And I know that I'm not the only one who's in a shit situation.
Mentally unsound, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm basically, we all have that, right? I think the statistics shows that quite a number of people have mental issues, you know?
Yeah, yeah, true, true.
I don't buy statistics from the government.
It's not from the government.
Ah,
they want to hide that shit from you. Because they want to fucking enslave you and work.
Yeah, I try much not to bring my all these things back home. So that's where music comes in.
Okay.
You know, so once I'm out from the gym, I just leave everything behind there. That's it. So that's why even when I go out on weekends, when I hang out with my friends, when they start to talk about fitness, start to talk about diet, I say, look, I don't want to talk about this. Not because I don't want to share with you. It's just that work is work. Once I'm out of work, that's it. I just want to free my mind from everything. You know?
The interesting thing is what people do for leisure is what you do for work.
Yeah, I know, right? So that's why they need to understand when I want to have a drink, I just want to have a drink. I don't want to talk about my... I know it's for you, it's leisure, but for me, it's work already, you know? I can... On the surface of it, we can talk about it, but when it comes a bit too deep, like, so about the calorie intake, this blah, 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 all right, look, let's just get a drink. Let's just talk about this.
Start counting the calories.
Let's just talk about this when I'm in my PT attire. Let's talk about this, if not, no.
But let's start from the beginning. What makes you want to do, you know, gym, taking care of your body? What makes you want to do that?
That's a very good question, actually, and it's, I don't really share this with everyone, but I was bad shape before. I was in a very bad shape before. You know, I was drinking a lot, like almost every day. I can say I'm almost alcoholic. But then, prison changed me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went into prison for something. Then I was actually training every day without fail, without alarm. I will wake up before Subuh. You know, Subuh prayer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The morning prayers.
Yeah, in the morning prayers, and I will be doing my push-ups, my twisting, everything. Then will roll call, blah blah blah, whatsoever, right? So when I came out, it's like for 1.5 years I was doing it without alarm, nothing, you know, and every single day without fail. So I don't want to lose whatever I've earned, you know.
The momentum.
Yeah, it was there. My body was. I wouldn't say nice, you know, but I love what I...
No, you're fucking jacked, man. You can see that. So, I mean, like, now...
When I came out, I don't want to lose that. So that's why I started to go to gym. I started to learn about fitness, whatsoever. So one after another, it just came along. So I don't really say that I, you know, prison changed me. All I can say is prison really changed me to be a better person. Yeah.
But is it hard to keep up that momentum when you start until now?
I think once you start, it's easy. Once you start, right, the, for me, even I told my clients, the first 3 months is very critical for someone who's not started training. First 3 months is very, is do or die. Yeah. But after the 3 months, you can keep the momentum. That's it. I tell you, it's just going on after one after another. And I've been doing this for like, what, 15 years or so, right? Even before that, I've been a trainer for almost 15 years. Before that, I've already started training. So it's like an everyday thing for me. So right now, if I don't train, I'll be the most, I'll be a bastard. I've already warned my partners and all. I say, look, I need to train. If I don't train, I'm going to be a fucking grumpy old man.
Okay, this applies to the same shit that I do also. Every day I look at the mirror and I tell myself, you're a fucking loser, man.
But that's a fact, right?
Also, but you see, the thing is, we'll get to that a bit later. The thing is, listen, the thing is, this is quite interesting. I'm okay with 10 guys calling me a loser. That's fine because I am ingrained in my head to actually counter these statements.
But you're not okay with 10 guys calling you. Okay, I shall not go there.
Never.
It might drive, you know.
No, it's fine.
Carry on.
F A G or something like that. No. But honestly, in all honesty, there is always a goal, I believe. That, for example, now, let's say I look in the mirror and I tell you, you're a fucking loser, man. You can never have abs. And I have the definition of abs. But what I mean by abs is that protruding abs. Fucking Kamaru Usman kind of abs.
Yeah, I have a one-pack protruding abs also. I'm proud
of it.
That's
you. Sir. That's why. That's the difference. The thing is, I self-motivate myself to make sure that I'm in that position. And I mean, if externally people say, you fucking hell, this and that, I can get over that. And I'm going to get to that point, which is basically racism. But we'll get to that later.
But my point to you is, why are you doing this? For what?
The thing is...
Is it for self-gratification?
No, it's nothing like that. I have self-gratification already with what I've achieved in life. I've achieved quite a bit in life. But the thing is, this helps you fit in your clothes. This helps you not have fucking sores and be lethargic most of the time. Because I realized, right, that when I have that point of time where as I work out for about 2 or 3 years and then after that I stop. Fasting month, I'm always lazy and then after that I have other commitments and then I just become lazy again. But the thing is, when it comes to this, right, I just want to fit my clothes and I don't want to be lethargic. You have that feeling? Like you wake up and you don't want to wake up, shit, you know. But when you work out, right, you feel a bit more energetic. Yeah. And that drives you throughout the day. That's.
And one thing I notice about people working out, there's always this one deadly sin that they do. One deadly sin. They always miss the leg day. Is that true? Baba?
Depends. Yeah, but I can
some
agree with you.
Some just want to scrub their upper body, but they forgot their leg day.
I can agree with you, but not fully agree with you. Because some people, they have this mentality, right? When I go out, I wear my pants. Nobody's going to see my legs. But then I will be wearing tight tops and all. So my biceps, my chest is very important. So they have that mentality, so they miss. They don't really do the legs. But then, it's actually wrong. Right? Not wrong physically, but wrong
on the whole.
Yeah, on the whole is wrong. Yeah.
I used to have that shit when I was in early 20s. And then you work out and then after you realize that fuck the leg days, man. You want to look good. But now I've made an effort. I'm working out 5 days a week and then I do 2 leg days. Because genetically I'm fucked. Right? You know, you have being Indian, basically I'm screwed. But there are ways to actually improve your legs. Yeah, and not be top heavy, and then when you walk, you get tired. That happens also, right? If you have weak legs.
Okay.
Is it is that justifiable for you as well?
That is justifiable. I mean,
thank you very much.
All
man.
The answers are. You guys answered my queries well. Thanks. So back to you, Talib. You're talking about racism.
No, I wouldn't want to go into
or
that.
Or you want to talk about racism?
Maybe we go on that a bit later because. What I'm about to ask is somewhat linked to that. So how do you get into music in the first place?
how I get into music in the first place. I've always loved music. I think since I was young, my mom had been saying, like, when I see bands playing on the screen or what, when I was little, I would just run to it and just focus on it. So I think
music is always your mom sees the rock star in you.
Always in me, but I love rock music. I love rock music, and even before I started playing in bands, I was listening to reggae. I was listening to rock, like real rock, you know, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC,
yeah,
and
the
stuff
old
like
shit.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I got to know about punk music, singing about realities and all this stuff. So I just somehow convert into this kind of music. Yeah.
Okay, but how do you? Let me just rephrase it in a...
Okay, you think about it. Let me ask him.
Okay, ask him.
So what draws you to this punk music?
It's about... We sing about reality in life. What we go through, the politics of life and all these things. It's not like... I'm not saying it's all rock music are like that, but most of them, they sing about rainbows, they sing about fantasy and all this stuff, you see.
That's Talib.
That's rock apa. Fucking hell, that's rock apa, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I started off as smart rock.
Oh, really, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Wings, Search, I love
okay,
Wings,
okay, okay,
you know.
Okay.
Bumiputra Rockers and all these things, of course, the old ones. But then, slowly into the English rock and roll. Then after that...
Those were the 80s shit, lah. The 80s Malay rock kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I grew up then, you know. Then after that, it slowly get into this. That's when I realized, like, you know, punk music, they really sing about what we go through every day, you know, the ups and downs of life and so on. So it just got me into it somehow. Yeah.
So it's the message that brought
you. Yeah, it's more about the message. Yeah, correct.
So that brings me to the next question, which I was going to ask just now. What's the difference between... Okay, what kind of punk music you actually... Punk rock as in like the exploited kind? Or is it like the skinhead kind?
Skinhead kind. Mine is more like a skinhead kind.
Okay, what's the difference between the two? Because I can never get it right.
Like, punk... It's actually similar. It's actually similar. The lyrics are mostly is actually similar. Like, punk music, they have like exploited. They have sex and violence and all this stuff. You know?
Yeah,
so some skinhead bands, they sing about that as well. But not as much as... Like, you know, but ours is more like, more about politics, about us being, enjoying the weekend with our friends, our skinhead brothers and all, you know, and at the same time about, we sing about racism, why there should be racism, we sing about borders, what's the reason borders are there, you see?
Yeah.
It's for the rich, not for us, you know, like.
That's quite an interesting point.
Yeah.
Huh? Say, borders.
And all these stuff, so. So basically it's just
what do you believe in borders?
I don't believe in borders. It's just
I mean like the whole concept of borders.
It's just for the rich, to make them more richer. We are born free. Why must we have borders? Why must we have all these passports to travel one place to another, you know? It's all for these rich to just make them more richer. Yeah. I don't see that is why borders is what divides race. Divides nationalities and all this stuff. Why we should have that? We are all born as humans, right? We are just one race, human race. Once you have borders and all this, so, I'm from this, I'm from that. Oh, I'm this race, I'm from this country because I'm from this race. That's where all this hatred comes in, right? Hatred of Asians, hatred about blacks, hatred about whites. So more about borders.
Yeah. I agree.
One thing links to the other.
And... Okay, the thing is, racism has always been associated with skinheads. I mean, you're obviously a man of experience, a grown person. And when those kids, right, when I've been to places and I've seen these kids and they start walking out in hundreds, you see, especially in Malaysia and things like that, in KL. And then they start kicking rubbish bins and making a scene out of that and dress like skinheads. And the original concept of this is basically this Aryan ideology in which they believe that they are the supreme race. And what is your point of view when it comes to that? And how does it make your ideology different from the kids that we see on the streets? I mean, it's not as much as it was before.
One mic stand.
So to be honest, we did that before when we were young, you know. We marched down Orchard Road kicking dustbins and all this for the fun of it because we are drunk and so on. But Aryan Nazis, they are not skinheads. Because the start of skinhead, without black culture, without Jamaican culture, there will never be skinheads, you see.
The root boys, you mean?
Yeah. So okay. how can these people who believe in Nazism dress up like us? They don't represent us. You see, they don't represent us at all. Because without, like I said, without the black culture, there will never be skinheads. Alright, so I don't think, because, alright, a lot of these kids, they started off, like even for us, you know, because last time we don't have internet and so on, right? So, Romper Stomper movie all this. You know, so that's where we see, oh, this is skinhead. Oh, they get violence, they got blah, 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 blah. Oh, they are racist. Then we get to know about in UK, they have like Paki bashing.
Paki bashing.
And all. So we are like, oh, Paki bashing, oh, it's violence. It's all about the violent thing.
For the listeners, it's actually Pakistani bashing.
Correct. Because they blame the Pakistanis for taking over their jobs and so on.
You know what's the shit part about this? They fucking brought the Pakistanis there, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Through colonization.
Yes, correct. Yeah, and then comes all this racism, Paki bashing and all. So, the part of it, the main part of it is the violence thing. It's just we are fascinated by the violence, you know, like boot stomping and all this. But after, as you go on, as you grow older, like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
what violence does to you?
And that is not the true representation of punk in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you mean, yes. But yeah, like I said, but to be honest, to be fair, the 67, 68, during the before 69, right, there was already skinhead, like the mods, early mods and all. Then during the early years of skinheads, there wasn't really any violence. You know, they just go to a club, listening to reggae music with the root boys, you know, dancing together and all. The violence part, the right-wing part came only in the 80s, late 80s. Because of the political thing in UK. You know, because they saw skinheads, they dress up like very violent with the boots and all. They decided to bring them in to fight for their politics. So that's where all this Paki bashing, racism, right wing came in. But before that, it was a peaceful thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was a peaceful thing. So they were more into like Jamaican music, scooters and all this thing, you know. So, yeah, one thing led to another. But that's why we don't associate. To be honest, I really get angry when someone say, why are you a skinhead? You know, you are dark skin.
That's a legit question. Yeah, I mean, you probably would have answered that better than anyone else.
A lot of people, actually, I get that question a lot, you know. That's why I'm like, do you even know the history of skinhead? If you know the history of skinhead, you will never ask me why I'm a skinhead when I have dark skin. You see? Right, so you need to educate yourself before you ask me this kind of question. So media, especially media, they spread a lot of propaganda, a lot of lies. No, they like media will always want to show the bad side of us, right? I've never seen something like the proper side of skinheads. You know, like us going into unless some people do a documentary, you know, then they will show the proper side of us. Like we mix with everyone, no matter who, where, what color you are. We don't care. You know, when we listen to the music, we just have fun.
You know, I think this came about in the early 90s in Singapore because we embraced cultures quite late. And then this came about in the early, probably early 90s or something like that. And then came American History X, which the mass actually watched it. And the audience that they capture is that ideology of, who's that guy, Edward Norton?
Yeah.
Edward Norton was like a skinhead, and then he has that representation of a Nazi and what he does and how he transitioned from that prison life to whatever that he became. Is it? Yeah. So I think that's the public perception.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's also there was one point of time as well, because you know we hang out around City Hall area, right? Yeah. So there's one point of time I came to City Hall, it was very long time ago. I see everywhere there were skinheads, but kids. And they wear exactly like in the movie. Edward Norton was wearing white t-shirt, white top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Correct.
And the braces down. You know, and that's not skinhead at all. We dress smart, we dress sharp. Ben Sherman, you know, polished boots and all. And these kids come with white t-shirts. Some even wear white singlet with the braces down because they watch this movie. But you know the braces, right? So yes, so they don't do it up. They just let it go, hanging.
Okay.
That's not skinheads. Yes, of course I do sometimes because I'm drunk and after a long night of dancing, after peeing, I just come out, fuck that braces. You know, but to be honest, that's not part of what we are supposed to look.
Yeah.
So we need to be sharp, dress smart. That's how we are. So when I see these kids wearing singlet. Because they watch this movie, Pariah, what they call it. There's another movie as well. So everyone came to see, everywhere you can see kids dressing as skinheads. But then they don't know the idea of essence what skinhead is all about. You know, that makes me sad. You know, but I know these kids, after a few weeks or months, they are gone. And true enough, they are gone. So it's all this movie that portray us bad, which leads to another thing.
But you play gigs. I mean, you played a lot of gigs. Do you see this kind of racism in these kind of punk gigs? Like what you mentioned earlier, that you face this kind of, you know, people asking you why you're dark skin and you're in a punk band. Do you face this when you play gigs?
I don't get that in Singapore. And when I tour with the band, I make sure we play in legit. The organizers are legit.
Yeah.
No, so they're more leaning more to the left, because especially in Europe, UK, if you get into the wrong gig, you can be in deep shit.
But you've been to gigs in Europe and UK.
We have toured. Europe, UK and everything.
With your boys, right?
The boys, yeah. So every year we will do a tour of everywhere. So we play, even I can say, Mighty Sounds Festival in Czech Republic is a super huge festival.
Yeah.
With bands from all over the world. Hardcore, punk, skinhead, whatever, reggae, whatever. Not a single fight, not a single racist thing I heard. Everyone just have fun together, no matter what color, what religion, what race you are. That's it. They put everything aside, music.
But fun. This doesn't seem to be the case in Singapore, because it seems every time there's a punk gig, there's sure fight to happen.
The fight, I don't think it's about race, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, but I think it's more about getting drunk, ego. But I've never heard about any racist thing. We somehow now we have Nazis in Singapore. I was waiting for that. Yeah, we do have.
Oh.
So they believe interesting, in like, they say they are not racist, but they are nationalists.
Being a Nazi, you're already fucking racist.
No, but nationalist, what are they representing?
So they wear the swastikas and all, but they say
which nationalism?
The pride of Singapore. They are like son of Singapore.
Going around with a swastika and
going around with swastikas and all, and doing the Sikh hill, and they say no, they are not racist.
Do they have a logo like a lightning there somewhere? No.
They have everything, but the funny part is, they will wear t-shirts or bands who don't believe in all this, like anti-flag and all.
Yeah.
They're wearing the t-shirt of anti-flag and doing a Sikh hill salute.
So I think they're either posers or they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
No, actually,
or they're just
posers is definitely 100%. But the sad part is, you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, you don't have no idea what you're doing. Got no idea what you're doing.
I think you just want to be cool.
But it makes you look like a fool.
Maybe, yeah.
How can you go around?
They wouldn't know that they are fools because they think they are cool. Is it cool and fool how it rhymes?
What is a Singapore nationalist ideology, man?
I don't know.
Then you should be representing Malaysia, right? Because that's the original.
Oh, they actually have
Malaya.
They're actually very good friends with the Malaysian Nazis.
Oh, now I get where this is coming from.
Yeah.
They said Singapore actually belongs to the Malaysians, the Malaya.
So you know when they say nationalists, you know
it means
who they're representing, right?
Yeah.
I thought it's the whites they're representing.
Must be paid by the people from UMNO then. Sorry, I'm Malaysians. I don't mean any offense, but it's just ridiculous how this ideology come about.
Yes. Yeah,
towards this.
But you have met these Nazis. Have you met any of them?
I've met them in during last time, 10 over years ago, we actually have street fights with them in KL.
Oh, shit.
When we played shows, we actually
no one would actually want to get into a street fight with you, huh?
Oh, that time I was very skinny, so.
Oh, okay.
So even last few years, I was attacked in Malacca by them. So I was invited to DJ, and somehow they came with, what they called that, they covered their face. And
balaclava.
And they brought chains, they brought wooden poles and all.
Shit, these so fuckers are serious, man.
They came two vans and they just attacked everyone. Yeah, so because they know the boys, we really spread anti-racism and all, you see? So they really hate us big time.
How's the hardcore reaction to your ideology, hardcore bands?
Some of the hardcore bands also. Actually, I think most of us believe in that.
Most of us believe in that.
It's just this nationalists who don't believe in that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So what's the difference between punk and hardcore? Is hardcore more aggressive? Or is the message different?
Message-wise is almost similar. I don't really listen to hardcore, but it's all positive messages. Even punk, yes, we sing about, like I say, sex and violence and all that. But at the end of the day, there's still positive message in there.
I think you don't mean what you sing, right?
Yeah.
Just like Ashraf. He dresses like a ghost, and he plays in a black metal band. But that doesn't mean that he thinks he's a ghost.
No, the reason why I ask this question, because some of the listeners, our fans, our
fans,
groupies.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. The one that knocks our doors every day for autographs.
Might not know the difference between punk music and hardcore, because sometimes it sounds a bit the same, but it's not the same. I don't know.
Yeah, I think music-wise, I think the tune-wise, but I think message-wise is mostly positive. I'm not really a big fan of hardcore. I don't really listen to hardcore
music unless
a few, but I think basically the message is almost similar. It's all positive. Positive vibrations is what Syed says, right? Positive vibrations.
The thing is, the hardcore guys will tell me they don't like the punk scene because we are true to ourselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. They tell me this when I speak to some of them.
Who are these they?
The godfather of I wouldn't want to get there. Okay, what? Yeah, doing the right thing, you know? But then the thing is, when they say that we spread positive messages and things like that, we're not like them, you know? We're not like the punk kids, you know? We're not like them. We are true to ourselves. But the thing is, from what I noticed, right, from the lyrics, and I do read the lyrics, it's about the same. But why can't you just integrate? This part I don't understand.
I think it's because we are troublemakers when it comes to gigs. Right, because I can say, to be fair, right, 80%, 90% of the fights at gigs are normally started by skinheads or punks. Yeah. So I think that is why one of the reasons why maybe the hardcore kids don't like us. But but hey, we are who we are, right?
Yeah, true. Self-representation. I think in Singapore, you don't succumb to violence as much as what happens overseas. And I think it's fine. Should all integrate, man.
So what do you play in the band? What kind of instruments do you play?
For the boys?
Yeah, the boys.
We started off, I was the bassist. Then the vocalist left us, so I took over the vocals for quite some time. Yeah, until now. So I started off with the bass, then I started with the vocal.
Yeah, three-piece band.
We were five, we started off four. Then we went up to five, then we went down to four. Then at one point of time, we were just three of us. Then after that, right now, new lineup, four of us. Yeah.
So do you miss playing the bass?
Somehow I miss playing the bass, but then Rebel Hi-Fi came along, so.
Oh, you just, bass, yeah, right? You were Rebel. I've heard a few of your songs.
Yeah, so I'm the bassist for Rebel Hi-Fi, right? So, yeah. So there's a balance there for me.
Have you been subjected to racism, Baba? Maybe when you're young or...
Of course, when we grow up in school. And all this, right? Definitely, at most point of the time in your life, you definitely have gone through this thing. But I think to me, it just made me stronger.
Yeah, it does. Like,
it just made me stronger. I don't give a fuck what you think about my skin. I'm born with this skin. You know, you're born with that skin. We don't ask what skin we want to be born with, you see? So what if you have white skin? That doesn't make you more superior than me, right? Yeah. right? It's how you think, it's how you bring yourself that makes you superior. So, to fuck with you, what you think about me?
You know what's the beauty of this, not? We actually look at the racism that goes on in places like America and things like that, or UK, and say, fuck, that's not right, man. But when it's at home, it's, it's just a joke. You know, why you can't take jokes?
I think one thing about Singapore is we can't really go too extreme with what we think of, you see, like racism. We want to fight racism. We want to go hard. The laws here won't allow us to do that. Right? Like in UK, you see, like in UK, Europe, US, they go all out. When they think it's wrong, they're wrong. They fucking go all out there on the streets. They make sure their voices are heard. We can't do that here. Correct? So we just have to absorb until one point of time we want to burst. But then how big can we burst? How much can we do? Right? Like right now, yes, everywhere is coming, but how big is it? At one point of time, it will just go down again, and that's it.
Yeah,
nothing. That's it. Back to square one.
So we talk about racism at gigs, if there's any. What about you being as a trainer in a gym? Have you experienced that? Maybe somebody just doesn't want to be trained with a dark-skinned man?
No, so far, nothing. So far, I have people from all race, religion, and everything. So
it's because happy. Of your charm, right?
Is it my smile?
So you don't experience those?
Nah, I don't experience racism in gyms. I have people from everywhere. I have Chinese, I have Indian, I have Eurasian, everywhere. So nothing. As long as you want my professional help, I'm happy to help you. You know.
Or what about those that goes to the gym after a certain race, use that equipment? The other party doesn't want
anything. No, there was a bit of...
Really?
There was... No. That during the start of COVID, there was a bit of this thing happened in the gym. You know, like, trainers don't want to go near... because we have China people as well, you know, training. They don't want to go. And this is... So, somehow, we got an email saying that this thing should stop, blah, blah, blah. They actually elaborate more on that. You know, but I can't remember what... So, there was a bit of this thing going on, but it was more of the COVID thing. But then it somehow led to the racism because China was the one who's Wuhan, right?
Yeah.
But then other than that, there's nothing. We work as one under the same roof. Yeah.
So what's next for the boys?
What's next? We just finished recording our album, 12 songs, which I need to sing the last song, which is a ska song. And I don't really know how to finish that up, but yeah, so it's our fourth studio album. So I've already told the label we are signed under a Canadian label.
Well, what's the name of the Canadian label?
Insurgence Records. Yeah. So they're going to release for us this, they're going to work with some other labels from Europe, UK, and also.
Are you on Spotify or something?
Yeah, we are on Spotify. You're on Spotify. They handle everything, not me. I don't really know how to handle it.
But do you guys record in Singapore?
Yeah, we record.
Where?
Legend, Aboy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone, he does everything Aboy, for us.
Fucking hell, man.
I miss you, Aboy.
He's the best. He knows our sound. He knows what we want. Right?
If you were to recommend our groupies, our listeners, our fans, one song from the boys, what would you recommend?
I would recommend, I think, Till I Die. So the whole line is Skinhead Till I Die.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was written during fasting month. Me and my guitarist in my old place. Like, it's fasting month, you know, you're supposed to be praying and all. It's just before the breakfast. And me and him was like, I'm a skinhead till I die. Repeating that same line 100 times just to get the tune. And after that, we record, I think it's one of my favorite songs in the boys.
And I have one question for you, so most of punk songs are very short. Why is that so?
They just want to follow the all the.
Just get the message across. The fuck legend, it, there you go.
I just want to get straight to your face, slap you in the face. Fuck it, I'm gonna get out of here. But saying that, not all our songs are fucking long. We actually have one song we wrote, which was in our first album, which was like 6 minutes or so. Yeah, so I told my guitarist, fucking hell, this sounds like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
it's just not supposed. Yeah, I was thinking of doing the song again to make it short and sweet, but then it takes a lot of energy to do that.
So what other kinds of genre of music do you listen to?
I love reggae music. I love reggae music. So I collect vinyls. I sometimes I do DJ of reggae music as well. But it's more like 70s reggae.
Yeah, the roots.
60s, reggae, 70s reggae. Yeah. So I love reggae music. I love rock and roll, of course. You know, AC/DC, Iron Maiden. I love that stuff as well. Yeah, but. Yeah, mostly skinhead punk music. I don't really listen to hardcore. I think because I just can't listen to the lyrics, you know. But
so if I were to ask you to name one black metal song, what would it be?
One black metal song. I know bands.
Okay, band.
Rudra.
Local, huh?
Local. Yeah.
Back at Substation, what do you think of this place closing down?
Oh, it's very sad, right? A lot of good bands started off playing there. Yeah, I think it's a very sad thing, but that's the thing about Singapore. They don't really support the music scene. Yeah, so it's just us in the music, just us playing music who supports each other, you see. But this time, I don't think it's they can't save the place, right? It's gonna close down, so.
By the way, what's the symbolism of all these tattoos, man? How do you get about with this anyway?
I really love English dragon. Somehow I'm really fascinated. So this is more like English dragon, and this
has been around for quite some time.
Very first tattoo.
Well, that's a huge one, man.
Fred Perry.
How much did that cost? It's something like.
No, that time was this one was done at Nee Soon Camp David.
Oh, that old one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they are there anymore, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So.
But a lot of people actually had their tattoos back.
That's why when I did that, I was thinking of covering. But then I'm like, fuck, this is my first tattoo. And David is not there anymore. So I just keep it. Yeah, so I have this. I love Stone Roses as well. I love indie music as well. Yeah,
that's right, man. So
you missed out indie music.
Yeah, I love indie music. Yeah, I forgot about that. I love indie music.
Indie,
yeah.
Not Hindi music.
Indie.
Okay, I English shot for once.
English,
yeah.
Rock and roll.
Okay. I was like, what? Really?
Yeah. So I love Stone Roses. That's why
Stone Roses is a fantastic band.
With the Manchester skyline here.
Yeah.
And made of stone below.
Oh, that's the album name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the rest of it is...
I think Stone Roses only had two albums. That's it.
Oh, I think they have a few.
Really?
Yeah.
I know there's the first one, made of stone. And then after that, there's... Oh, what's that one with the 10-story love song?
Can't remember.
The Second Coming.
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. I know they had two or three max. And then everyone went their own ways. And then after they came to Singapore a few years ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
You watched that?
Yeah.
I was at that gig also. Yeah. Fantastic. Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Baba. We will be looking out for The Boys, which will be out soon on Spotify. When is it out again?
It's already up, but the next album will be up soon.
What's the title of the album, by the way?
The new one.
Yeah.
We still haven't finalized. When I ask the band, Syed will come up with something, guitarist come up with something.
You can just put it as One Mic Stand.
We will decide soon.
We will have to bribe them for that.
That's a good name, but we need to write something about it.
Don't forget to thank us in your thank list.
Thanks a lot, man. It's a pleasure having you here, man.
Man, pleasure to be here, man.
Cheers, man. Bye.